Kia ora, welcome to Focus on Politics. I'm Jane Patterson. The shortage of decent, affordable housing has so many different consequences for so many New Zealanders. At the sharp end are those in emergency housing. This Auckland mother of four was until recently in emergency housing for 8 months. Not only was their room cockroach infested, but unsafe.
In the place that I was, there was alcoholics, drug addicts, gang affiliations, drug deals going on. My kids witnessed a few domestic violent relationships that were two doors down from us. It's not a safe environment for kids, I can definitely say that.
And no one came to help.
Where the lady was actually smashing up the motel room windows, the time we had just got back from school, I called the police. They didn't turn up 2 days later.
In 2016, under the same pressure to get people out of their cars and off the streets, the National Government established the emergency housing scheme, primarily using motels. It was supposed to be a short-term fix. 5 years on, demand has exploded. Many describe living in dangerous and crime-ridden circumstances. The very social fabric of some parts of New Zealand is being ripped apart, all while motels and hotels pocket more than $6 million a week. They say they're meeting a desperate need and face personal danger and abuse in the process. But the amount of money being handed over in return for accommodation that's often not just substandard but dangerous is coming under increasing scrutiny. Island Child Charitable Trust Chief Executive in Auckland, Danielle Bergen, describes what life can be like.
Well, we just had a young mum. She had been working up until falling pregnant. She was actually a young tradeswoman, and she just got allocated a work and income motel. She turned up there with a very young baby on her hip, probably about 5 months old, and the motelier looked at her and said, "Are you fresh out of prison? Because all my rooms have got prisoners." Well, this young mum at the age of 20 was so frightened, she rang a friend who then said, "You've got to call Island Child Trust immediately." We were just lucky to be able to accommodate her and her child. But it is quite frightening just what is happening with the mixture of families.
She recounts a disturbing situation she came across during a visit to an emergency housing motel.
And there was a lovely child, 6 years of age, sitting in the tree, and all she had was being able to look out at the cars all day. But as we drove into the motel, up on the second story was the dealers. And they knew everything that moved that came in and out of that driveway. I would say it was incredibly high risk.
Distressing stories have continued to flow into RNZ, including about a 49-year-old grandmother punched unconscious while in emergency housing by another resident. The police and ambulance were called. She ended up in hospital, too traumatised to return to any kind of shared living. Jenny Weiber works for the charity Shine and with children in Auckland through Family Works. She says women getting out of violent relationships are especially at risk.
They're extremely vulnerable, and at that time where they find that strength and courage to move away, and then they get put into an environment where there are gang members in there, there are people with drug and alcohol issues, that risk of assault increases for them, and they get left with a choice of, do I stay here where it's completely unsafe for me, or do I go back to my partner where at least I know that violence? So, yeah, it is a concern, and I think if I talk to my team at Shine, they would say they are seeing an increase in that, in the work that our advocates are doing.
Do you have any specific concerns about children being in these environments as well?
Absolutely. You know, for a child, their whole learning and their whole life is based around being safe and playing and building relationships with peers and then going to school regularly. So when you've got a child that's taken out of their community, out of their local school, and placed into emergency housing or into a motel, and our parents are saying, we can't let them outside because it's not safe, because there are people who are drinking or there are drugs going on or gang members are pulling up. So parents are doing their best to keep their children safe by keeping them inside the motel room. A child's development and well-being has to be impacted. And I think the sadness is our tamariki, you know, they don't ask for this. They just want to see children.
There are what the government calls hotspots around the country. One of them is Rotorua. A downtown bar owner says emergency housing is killing the town and crime is rampant. Reed Hennessy says the situation's a disgrace.
I've never seen Rotorua so bad, so ugly in all my life. You know, both myself and my family and so many people that I know totally support looking after people in need, particularly if they've got nowhere to sleep. But what am I seeing? I'm seeing crime, I'm seeing drugs getting sold openly on the street, I'm seeing gangsters, I'm seeing youth gangs. But when you walk past a motel in Fenton Street and you see mongrel mob colours hanging up in the windows, showing off so the whole world can see it, it doesn't make me proud to belong to Rotorua anymore.
Obviously, we've had the pandemic and emergency housing was used to get people off the street who had been there.
Yep.
We are a year on from the full lockdown. Is the situation getting any better?
No, not at all. It's just getting worse. It's multiplying. It's multiplying all the time.
Residents have also told RNZ what it's like to live near an emergency hotel. Similar stories, harassment and crime. The police wouldn't front anyone for an interview, but in a statement say they recognise community concerns about a perceived increase in crime linked to emergency housing. It says they're taking these concerns seriously and are committed to investigating all reports of crime, regardless of where they occur, but don't collect data specifically in relation to emergency housing. Moteliers too say they're struggling and it's not as easy as pocketing the cheque from work and income. Hospitality New Zealand's Julie White says there should be more government support for people with highly complex needs.
It's a really wide social issue that we're trying to fix. The accommodation sector has partnered with government to provide shelter. They aren't social workers. So what we think, there needs to be a multi-agency approach to help fix this issue.
The latest figures show demand is expected to just keep growing, with 170,000 grants needed this year and next. The daily bill for emergency housing is $900,000 for more and more people staying longer. National's Nicola Willis says it was only ever supposed to be a short-term solution.
And it's turned into a permanent approach. We've got families staying in motels for longer and longer, up to 3 months when it was only ever meant to be 7 days. We're now spending $1 million a day on the motels, and these people are not getting the support they need to actually get into secure, stable housing in a permanent way. This is a band-aid. It's not solving the drivers of the homelessness that the government said they were going to address.
The Social Development Ministry hands out emergency housing grants, but there are no contracts with providers and no obligations further to what's expected for any other guest off the street. General Manager of Housing Karen Hocking says residents are given support and providers are monitored.
Motels are not up to standard and not providing the service, Jane. We stop using them, and we have done that. And we just need our people to let us know, and agencies if they're concerned.
Megan Woods is the Housing Minister. Her responsibilities are to get more houses built around the country. Transitional housing is also run by her ministry, Housing and Urban Development, which is cheaper per week than emergency housing, provides more certainty and more government control over what's happening through contracts. She says there could be changes to emergency housing based more closely on that model.
What we're moving towards here is doing longer-term contracting for the MSD accommodation as well, so we can have more of a placement criteria going on. So
how quickly?
Make sure.
How quickly is this change going to come in? Because it sounds absolutely dire for these families, and you've got children living in situations which is impinging on their well-being.
This is work that is happening as we speak. We expect that we'll be able to see some change in the coming weeks.
Greens co-leader and Associate Housing Minister Marama Davidson also has responsibility through the Homelessness Action Plan and says part of the blame for the housing shortage can be laid at the feet of the previous national government. But she strongly condemns the current system.
I'm not satisfied that it's fully safe for everybody. I'm not satisfied that it's a good long-term solution, and it was never ever supposed to be. What is happening is not humane, is not safe enough, and that's something that we are working to rectify.
Social Development Minister Carmel Cipollone says emergency housing is there to meet urgent and desperate housing needs, but acknowledges the problems.
It isn't ideal that we have to have an emergency accommodation provision in the first place and that we have to utilise motels, but you know, previously under the national government, houses weren't built. In fact, public houses were sold off. And we've committed to building houses, but in the interim, we have to house people who are homeless. Where people don't feel safe or there are issues, they can let MSD know and MSD will respond and find them something more appropriate. And where MSD needs to be improving the support, then MSD will improve that support.
What capacity is there for a more proactive approach? Are ministers looking at, for example, cohorting or how to maybe contract or put more obligations on these providers?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's certainly one of the things that we're looking at. You know, keeping in mind that there are a few ministers that have kind of oversight of this particular area, all working together to ensure that the space is safe and that we're utilising the best options that are available at hand.
Isn't it time for ministers to stop talking and actually start looking much more closely about what's going on, given that emergency housing demand is only going to keep rising?
Yeah, so, you know, as I said, I was in Rotorua last week, and one of the groups I met with was the MSD housing team. And I had a good, you know, talk with them about what they're seeing and what things we can immediately improve on. Some of the accommodation they're using is not ideal. And my word to them was, well, unless there is any particular reason why we need to use them, don't use them. And so we're going to send a really strong signal in places like Rotorua that, you know, our expectations is that people would have access to safe accommodation, that it would be clean. And if that's not the case, then we do need to look at not using them.
Does MSD always have a choice, given we're hearing that, you know,
That's a good question, Jane, because in some places we are really limited for emergency accommodation options. Rotorua at the moment is not one of them, so we can stop using some of the places that, as I said, have been deemed to be unsafe or unclean. In some areas that is harder. Also keep in mind, even though there may be some that we don't deem to be of the best quality for our clients, sometimes clients still want to go in them because of the fact that they may be closer to their kids' schools. For those that maybe are on low incomes, found themselves homeless, but needing emergency accommodation, it may be closer to their work. And so in some situations, it is the client who deems that a particular motel would be the best emergency accommodation for them.
Are you looking at being able to maybe bring some of what happens with transitional housing into emergency housing? And I'm thinking particularly of some kind of contractual obligations or expectations on those moteliers for, let's face it, the very large sums of money that are being handed over to them.
Yeah, Minister Woods has alluded to that in interviews that she's done, that this is an area that we are looking into. MSD doesn't necessarily have the levers to contract for emergency accommodation. MHUD does have some ability to do that. And as Minister Woods has already said publicly, that is something that she's exploring.
What about in your portfolio, though? It's quite different. You know, the urban development and housing are dealing with a much lower number, about, you know, 900, 1,000 places, whereas MSD is dealing with a more dynamic, much bigger numbers. Is it even possible to look at something like that, or do you think that could be something that could work?
As I said, you know, this is something that a group of ministers are working on together. Clearly, MSD is the last port of call for some New Zealanders who are in very desperate situations. And we're dealing with some New Zealanders or working with some New Zealanders who have some very complex needs. And if MSD isn't able to house them in emergency accommodation or wasn't there to house them in emergency accommodation, then some of these people would end up on the streets, and none of us want that.
Your message to people in emergency housing at the moment that are unhappy or feeling unsafe about what you and other ministers are actually doing to make it better?
Well, look, if anyone is in emergency accommodation and feeling that it is unsafe or unsuitable for their needs, then they should contact the MSD case manager and make that known. MSD will respond to that and then where possible, we'll find them more appropriate accommodation. And so, you know, that is absolutely something that we're committed to doing.
No one is questioning the need to house some of New Zealand's most desperate, but the system is failing. Some moteliers are running a tight ship with rules for tenants and extra support for them and their families, but many are not. Hundreds of dollars are being paid out in some cases for one room for one night, with several reports of people not getting fresh linen or access to laundry, rooms not being cleaned properly, criminals and drug dealers brazenly operating in motel complexes, and in some cases, no managers or motel staff on site. Again, RNZ's been told there's little or no support when things go wrong, and when they do, it's too late. The ultimate responsibility for this is with government ministers, and all eyes are now on how they are going to sort this out. Let's focus on politics. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jane Patterson. Mā te wā.